11 before 8 on WXPN. Amy Ray and Emily Saliers, Indigo Girls with Strange Fire. Amy, the lower-voiced half of the duo, wrote it. Here's what she had to say about Strange Fire when Indigo Girls visited WXPN last Friday.
That song was written, it was written like in 80, probably 86 or something like that. And I was watching Jimmy Swaggart, the TV evangelist.
You being Amy Ray.
Me being Amy Ray. And I was watching him on TV doing a sermon, and it was taken from a certain story in the Bible, and it struck me as being sort of an odd story. Basically, the song is about believing that you have the power and everything to relate to your own God through yourself, and no one needs to tell you how to do it, and no one has the authority to tell you how to do it, and you have love within you, and you need to believe in yourself, and it's kind of that kind of thing.
So you tend to write, it seems like you tend to write about things that you feel very strongly about.
Mm-hmm.
They're fairly deep but not too superficial, your topics.
Yeah, I guess those are the things that really inspire us to write. I mean, it's hard to be inspired, I don't know for what reason, but it's harder for us to be inspired by something that's not touching on things like darkness and light and those sorts of archetypal deep things. I don't know why. It's kind of like a cross to bear sometimes.
What do you mean by that, Emily?
We'd like to be better versed at like using irony or humor and things like that, and those are things that we just don't have a talent for, because we appreciate that in other writers. And the fact that some people just don't, I don't think, really get what we're about and get our message, and the first thing they see is that the topics are very serious or tend to be heavy or sobering or whatever it is, and then they just, you know, they say, oh God, they're so dark, and so they pass the music by, things like that.
But I've read that you feel like your emphasis is on hope and on the light part of it.
It is. I mean, we talk about things that we consider to be just realistic, and we have a complete message of hope, and we have complete faith in people being able to pull themselves out of situations and bring the light to situations, so to speak. I mean, we believe in self-esteem, and we want everybody to feel good about themselves and believe in their individuality and stuff like that.
So you have to be patient with the songs. You have to give them some breathing room. It's not the kind of record, I think, where you can just, you know, slap it on and listen to it once and get the impressions that are accurate.
Do you think using humor and irony is something that you can develop over time? Is it something you're working on?
I'm working on it. I mean, there's a lot of times when I've written songs that have been humorous, and I've had a shot at irony, but that's a gift, and I think you can work on it and get it to a certain extent, but I think, like, you know, Dylan had irony, and it was just natural to him, and it just came, you know, completely natural. And a writer like John Prine,
or
Loudon Wainwright,
Farron,
the Roaches.
Yeah, the Roaches are great.
So it's, you know, it's the kind of thing where we know a lot of artists that have inspired us that have the gift, and we know that we could work on it and include it in some songs, but it doesn't necessarily come natural to us.
How old are you both?
Emily, I'm 27.
Amy, I'm 26.
So maybe that ironic sense is something that comes with greater age. I mean, you're still pretty young.
Yeah,
that's very true. I never thought about that.
Irony and wisdom.
It's not like we don't have senses of humor. It's a little hard to incorporate in our songs. I guess we're inspired by the darker things right now.
You know, you really nail it sometimes with your lyrics. One of the finest lines is in the girl with the weight of the world in her hands from your latest album. Is the glass half full or empty? I ask her as I fill it. She said it didn't really matter. Pretty soon you're bound to spill it.
It's a great line, Emily. It's
well,
a great,
you know, that the glass half full and empty is a cliche, though, definitely.
Yeah, but it's the way you use the cliche that counts.
Yeah, well, I heard it in another song, and I was like, damn, maybe I shouldn't have used it. Can I say damn?
Absolutely.
Damn, maybe I shouldn't have used it.
Well, let me say it once, damn. No.
There's that intriguing line, too, from Hammer and a Nail, even my sweat smells clean. What exactly do you mean by that?
I was thinking about how white and middle class I am, and I was thinking about people like what we term blue-collar workers, or people who are really out there just working, physically sweating and salt of the earth and that kind of thing. And I was comparing my efforts, my physical efforts, to some of the people that I was looking around at. So that's what that refers to.
Not to mention the you're planning on doing an endorsement for a deodorant. So you thought maybe you would just...
Oh, no, it's out. Well, we should tell you about our lip syncing problems, too.
Oh, no.
But we won't get into it.
You weren't really on this album, were you?
Amy's afraid I'm going to do endorsements one day. This is, like, the big issue because, you know, all these people doing Gap ads and stuff, and it makes Amy sick to her stomach, and I'm, like, a really big Gap fan, and I'm a really big Nike fan, and... And
that's
now
a joke,
big deodorant
though. I know you
fan.
Won't. You're no. a big deodorant fan?
No,
so
no.
am I.
I will not do an endorsement.
But you really did write those lines.
I really
you didn't
did
have
write
a ghost writer.
But the judge sang them on the record.